We are in the middle, towards the beginning of Paragimel. Let's start with Pasuk Dalet. Pasuk Dalet, Naomi is laying out a plan of action for Rus. Naomi is advising Rus, you should go to the garden, to the threshing floor. The threshing floor where they are threshing and winnowing. Really, it's winnowing the barley. And this location is where you're going to meet up with Boaz, and I'm going to command you exactly to lie down, to get dressed, and you bring the Shabbos first to bathe yourself, as we learned yesterday in the Targum, to cleanse yourself from Avodah Zarah, according to Rashi, to cleanse yourself from Avodah Zarah. We learned the Targum, an unusual word which refers to cleansing meat, the filth from meat. We discuss that, and then to put on shemen, oil, to smear your body with oil. Rashi said that refers to mitzvos, keeping the mitzvos, kabbal the mitzvos, and to wear big day Shabbos, to go down to the threshing floor, and to prepare to meet with Boaz. Now, a few just short ideas. Shemen, according to Rashi, shemen refers to the mitzvos. What does shemen have to do with mitzvos? So I don't have a good answer. I just saw over here very quickly, just some Rosh HaProkim, that the purpose of putting, why do you put oil on your flesh? In ancient, we don't do this. We have creams. Today we don't use oil. We use different other types of things. But why does a person put oil? Why did they put oil on their flesh? I always thought it was to soften the flesh. But it says here it was primarily used as a shmira, like sunscreen. So even in ancient times, they used oil as a sunscreen. Is that really true? Okay, that's what it seems to say. So it's telling us that mitzvah serves as a shenen. It's a protection. It's a shmira. It's megin. When a person does a mitzvah, the mitzvah protects him from the satan, from a kitrek. And that's alluded to over here in reference to Shemen. The big day Shabbos, this I came across over here, and we discussed yesterday the significance of wearing big day Shabbos. But there is an interesting discussion if a person is allowed to wear big day Shabbos during the week. We take it for granted that if you go to a wedding, you put on big day Shabbos. If you go to, you make a simcha, you wear big day Shabbos. Who says that is correct? Maybe a person, if you could afford, you should have three sets of clothing. You have a set of clothing for the weekday, and you have big day Shabbos, which are sacred, only for Shabbos. And when you go to a black tie event, you have a tuxedo, right? You have a special set of clothing you wear for special events. If you're being honored at a dinner, you're meeting with the President of the United States, you're meeting with some important event, so you wear distinguished clothing. Maybe the clothing may even cost more than your Big Day Shabbos. Could be. Big Day Shabbos suit maybe cost $300, and the garments you wear, the suit you have for to meet with all the diplomats, maybe they cost $1,000. But they're not Big Day Shabbos. Because Big Day Shabbos is something that is sacred. And indeed, the Arizal, he brings here a lot of interesting things. The Arizal says you're not allowed. It's not so simple that when a person makes a wedding, marries off a child, the person gets married. Whoever told you to put on Big Day Shabbos? Big Day Shabbos. It's a zilzal in the honor of Shabbos to wear Big Day Shabbos any day other than the week. Maybe you can say Yom Tov is the same. In fact, I think Chazal released that Yom Tov is supposed to have nicer clothing. Yom Tov is din of Simcha. Shabbos is no din of Simcha. Yom Tov could be even have the different clothing. But who says? This Rashi is a fascinating insight, is that here it's not Shabbos. Everyone agrees there's no Medrash, no Chazal that says that she went down to the threshing floor when it was Shabbos. It seemed to be during the week. If he's winnowing, it's not Shabbos. You want to say it was Friday, late Friday, and then he went into Shabbos? It's not Mistah there. No one says that, he says. It was during the weekday, and yet she is being instructed to wear Big Day Shabbos to meet with Boaz, who obviously this is a very important event for her. So we learn here that there, at least from Rashi, that there is no prohibition, and there is nothing wrong wearing Big Day Shabbos for other special events. Meeting with the Gadol Hadar certainly qualifies as an event that's right to wear Big Day Shabbos. V'hoyu einecha rois es mayrecha. Boaz was a shofet, he was a navi, ruach hakodesh, meeting with the Navi, you deserve to wear a big day shas. Okay, I just want to point and make at that point because it is something interesting. Again, we take for granted, we don't pay attention, but it is an interesting point. Okay, now there is another one thing I left out. Pasuk Gimel, one more point we left out from yesterday. V'aradit, he told her v'arachatz, you shall wash v'sacht, smear your body with oil. V'samt simlo sayich alayich. V'aradit hagoren, go down to the threshing field. Why does it say the word to go down? What's the significance of going down? So this is an insight into in Mitzias that in ancient times the threshing field was
the floor. The
threshing floor, but it was in a low altitude, because if the threshing floor is in a high altitude, the winds are too strong. And when you throw up the chaff, you throw up the mixture, the grain into the air, it will blow away some of the kernels as well. You have to go to a place where the wind condition is just right. We quoted yesterday the Medrash. That's one of the reasons why Boaz was here at night, because at night the wind was just right. During the day the wind may have been too weak or may have been too strong. The wind condition was just right. In addition to it being night and day, there's also an important point of exactly where you winnow. And the Gemara, I think it's either a Gemara or some Medrash that illustrates this with a story where Natan or Amora, he sold a field and he promised the buyer that there's a certain measure,
a yield
that will be 100, whatever the measure was, a certain, and the buyer took possession of the raw grain and he winnowed the grain and it was deficient. It was less than, it was short of what the seller promised. So the seller said to him, well, tell me, where did you winnow the grain? So he told him, no, yeah, it's a mistake. In that location, it's too high. The wind is too strong. It's going to blow away the kernel together with the chaff. And he made him collect all the soil. Let's go around and collect everything which fell on the floor in the area. And he had to take it to a different location, a low location, via Radit, to descend and do it again. And indeed, he got what he was promised. The yield was exactly what he was promised. And this idea, this concept, is brought out from this one word, via Radit. Via Radit means go down. You go down, you have to descend to a low location where the wind is not too strong in order for you to properly, so that's where the threshing floor, the proper location for the threshing floor is. Okay, now there's another question. Why does it say viraditi? There is here a kuivichsev in Rus. It's a very difficult safer to lane if you're laning from cloth. Because from all of the Svarim, all of the kriyos of the year, it has the most kuivichsevs. Sometimes you have to add words, you have to delete words, you have to add yuds, take out yuds. You have to concentrate very, very, very well when you lay in Sefer Rus from cloth. So here it says, we read it via radit. You shall descend. Here it's spelled via raditi, which means I shall descend. So the Medrash says, Rus did not want to follow Naomi's plan. She, just like Yaakov Avinu did not want to follow the plan of his mother Rivka, he knew and she knew that it was extremely dangerous. Yitzchak, if he would discover that Yaakov was not Esav, and he was fooling him, he felt that he would be subject to a curse. What does the pasuk say? That was the response. But he said in advance, he said, he was petrified, he was terrified, he might be cursed. Same thing, Rus said to him, are you kidding? I'm going to go down into the field and go sneak up upon the Gadol Hador in the middle of the night like a zona. You know what's going to happen? He'll discover, he'll curse me, and that'll be the end of me for good. I don't have enough trouble, enough problems. So she said to him, just like what Rivka said to Yaakov, Olai kilalascha bini, I'll take care of your klala. In other words, don't worry, my zuchus, it's not going to happen. Naomi said to Rus, you'll go down with my zuchuyos, my merits.
What does it say?
Viraditi. That's the kui v'chsev. V'yaradit is since it really should have said v'yaradit. It should have said v'yaradit. It's spelled v'yaradit. We read it v'yaradit. The simple translation is that Naomi is giving her instructions. You are the one that's going to risk your life to implement this plan, but do not worry. You should realize that it's as if I myself are going down and doing this, meaning my zuchuyos, my merits, will accompany you on your trip, on your way down to the field, to protect you from any danger that may come your way. Okay, that's why we have the extra yud. Now, why there's an extra yud in the simlo saich, I do not know. The sam simlo saich olayich, so we read it simlo, the simlo saich. And but there is no yud, so I don't know. I didn't see anything. What's the significance?
Well, it's the singular and plural that to have one outfit for Shabbos and one outfit for
the Sant. You shall put sim. How would you read it without the yud? The sim.
Instead of sim lo seich, it reads sim lo saich.
Sayich, so that means you are similar. Okay, yes, what's the significance? I don't know. So there must be something deeper here. Plural?
Yeah,
it's plural.
It's
plural.
It's plural.
Makes a plural?
It's plural.
So simlosayich, it means your second garment.
Simlosecha and simloscha.
That's the, yeah.
They only had one.
Okay, so that's one garment.
They wore the same
40 years. So maybe that's the hint to what Rashi is saying, is that not your regular garments, your secondary garments. The plural. What's the plural? The plural means a person normally, if he could afford, has two sets of garments. Big Dei Chol, Big Dei Shabbos. I want you to put on your Big Dei Shabbos. Okay, so let's assume that's what it means. Okay, now we go to one more point in Pasuk Gimel. Al Tivadi Lo Ish. Why did she choose the word Tivadi Lo Ish? Ad Kalosol Lechol V'Lishdos. You shall not make yourself known to the Ish. Now, she's trying to hint to her, and as we're going to see this much more in the next Pesukim in the Midrashim, is she's telling her, in the previous Pasuk, she made a Shavua. We learned yesterday the word halo, viata halo voaz modatanu, even going back, back Pasuk Gimel, atomul nomi chamas sabiti halo avakesh manoach asher yi tavloch. And we learned yesterday, halo is the letters backwards, aleph lamed hey is a Shavua. Naomi said, I'm not going to let this get by. You're getting married. I'm not going to let you be an old maid for the rest of your life. You are going to get married, and I make a shavua that this is going to happen. No matter what. Interesting, just going off on the tangent, there's such a thing that there are people, I've heard this story, that people who are not married, and they have friends and relatives that care a lot about them, want them to get married, and there is such a minhag, there's such a bizarre minhag. Don't try this at home, okay? But Mitzayom Kippur, three people sit down, Mitzayom Kippur, and they're goyzer midin bezdin, that this person has to get married. The goyzer min hashamayim, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to pull the strings, that so-and-so get. I heard this story, I heard these stories. Why dafka Mitzayom Kippur? Because Mitzayom Kippur is the time of the year when a person is the most pure as possible. It's right after you have been forgiven, after Ne'ilah from all of one's sins. Came, when you get home, then you get ready to get into a fight with your wife and your children, and you forget to make a bracha with kavana when you eat, and you forget to bench properly, and so on and so forth, and go online, read all the Lashon Hara, and so on and so forth. But before all of that happens, Motzayom Kippur, can you imagine what an auspicious time it is? The moment when you finish blowing the shofar, at that moment in time, if you want to accomplish something, now is the time. So people would sit down as a bezdin. The most important thing in the world, we all know, is shidduchim. They would sit down as a bezdin, three people. We're bezdin. The bezdin shall tara la bashamayimi. The bezdin shall mata is goyzer that so and so should get married. What? I told you, don't try this at home. I've heard about such a thing. Did it work? I heard that it did work. The story that someone told me, he claims that person that year got married. It worked. They sit down. So I just, the reason why that was, that thought was triggered was because of the word halo. It's a very powerful idea. We learned yesterday in the Medrash, halo is a shavua. Halo is the same letter as Allah. And Ami says, Rus, I'm not going to let you get away with this. You don't want to get married. You want to go. You want to accompany me, and you want to. And that's really what she said. She said that I'm not leaving you. And if I'm not mistaken, she made a shvu. I'm not leaving you, my mother-in-law. I'm coming with you to Eretz Yisrael. I recognize in Eretz Yisrael, I'm an outsider. I'm from the nation of Moav. Moav may not enter into Klal Yisrael, and there is no hope for me. And I don't care. I don't care. I won't get married. I'll be an old maid. I'm not going to abandon you. Here is Naomi's response. I will not. I do not accept your shvua. I am making a shvua to counteract your shvua. Or you don't have to even say I'm making it to counteract your shvua. She's just stating with the utmost conviction, I will not let this happen, let you get away without getting married. You must get married, and I'm making a shavua. I'm doing something extreme. And that's why I mentioned that Yom Kippur, people, they go through extreme things they've done, they do, to make sure other people they know get married. Yeah.
I've experienced this also from Paquette, the other way in life. I had a boss years ago, a woman. She had older parents. She not good. Felt she had to stay home and take care of her parents. And Nebuch, they eventually passed on to this world like everybody else. And there's a woman in there, she must have been in the 50s.
It's very sad.
So it goes both ways. You could say the parents...
All right, there's a lot... there's a lot more. When you say a story like that, it's not likely that's the only reason she didn't get married. Now, you have to know, so we live in a very complicated world. Right? So... Okay, let's leave with that. Okay, I hear it. It's very sad. It's very, very sad. Yeah.
We discussed pretty prior to this that Naomi called Boaz to come to Moab for the funeral, to take care of the funeral of both
Machlon and Kilion.
And right. And husband also, I remember him. We said
right, and Elimelech.
So there must have been a very strong relationship.
Okay.
Right. Here she's coming from Moab to Israel, and there's no contact between her and Boaz. There's no effort on her part to establish a shidduch between him and a young woman. Everything's done surreptitiously. It doesn't seem right.
Right.
No communication.
There is really no good answer.
But your initial premise is not a mainstream opinion anyway. So you started off with an assumption.
That they were close. Look, modatanu. Why is assumption not valid? Modatanu. The term modatanu means we're close relatives. Mibesorcha al tisalein.
You started out saying that he arranged for the.
That we mentioned. There is. Okay, it's an opinion. But put that aside. Modatanu means he is our relative. Mibesorcha al tisalein. Your relative. Your close relative. So where was he until now? So there are answers. Some said that he was busy with his own mourning. His wife just died. His wife died not that long ago, and he was in mourning.
3 months later.
You're right. Maybe. Okay. All right. I
know. He didn't know.
Okay. I mean, the common answer, which is not a satisfying answer of why this entire event took place surreptitiously, is because when you're dealing with Melech HaMashiach, the Satan is Mekatrek. The Satan will never ever allow Melech HaMashiach to come normal channels. Only way we can bring about the birth of Mashiach has to be through back channels. The Guchazal say Mashiach will only come when after there's Yeush, Hesech Hadas. No one will even, what, Mashiach? It's the last thing I thought was going to happen today. I have a lot of things to do today. Mashiach's going to come today? Why? It has to be like that, because if we're sitting and waiting and anticipating Mashiach to come, the Satan will stand in its way. We have to do it when the Satan is off guard. Would the Satan ever imagine that Mashiach will be born from Lot and his daughter? Incest? The Satan was on vacation. I got nothing to worry about over here. What's going to happen over here?
Override the halacha.
What?
But the halacha movia the lo moyav, he couldn't override.
That halacha, of course, that halacha, that's halacha, right? So that. Okay, so
been able to override that, the whole thing goes down again.
Well, they tried.
The whole idea.
They tried. The Gemara talks about
Yehuda and Tamar and all.
For generations, even when David was born,
they didn't accept that.
Even
is that the Gemara?
Even David, this halacha was not accepted. Even after David was born,
right.
David was Shaul's weapon bearer. He carried his weapons.
Well, when he marries her, he dies the next day. So what do you? Everybody say, see, I told you.
Doeg says, Shaul says, who's this young man? Who is he? So he was very impressed with David. David was his servant. David was the servant of Shaul. So he carried his weapons. He carried his weapons when he started out. He carried his sword, whatever, his armor. And Doeg said, him? He's not even Jewish. Doeg said, you want to know what David, you want to know who David is? David, before asking who he is, you should even ask me if he's Jewish, because he comes, his great-grandmother was Rus, and it's Shreya Shulchan Aruch, Teres Netaro, Lo Yavi, Amoni, Yigmavi, B'Kal Hashem. And don't tell me this thing over here, Moyavi, V'loi Moyavis. Ah, this is a left, this is like some left-leaning organization. These are real lefties. That's what he said, the Farish of Gemara.
And he was with him until the very end.
What?
He won the argument until the very end.
Yeah, he won the argument.
Kachmet Kublani, he says, I don't have a proof from anywhere, but Kachmet Kublani.
Tradition. It's a Messiah, Halacha L'Moshe Mitzinai. And even until the very end, until they opened up the doors to the Beis HaMikdash.
Sword down. What was the guy? He said, I'm putting my sword down. This is the
Kachmet Kublani.
Put his sword down. He said, this is the Halacha.
This is the Halacha. Okay, so let's go further. So this now we got off on a tangent that she insisted. This is the plan of Naomi. Naomi is telling her with an olah, make a shvua. I'm not letting you remain unmarried. You must get married. And she uses the term in the next pasuk. The only question is, who are you going to marry? Are you going to marry one of your own? Meaning, we'll go to Moab and we'll convert a man in Moab, and you'll end up marrying a ger who's from Moab, or maybe you really fit to marry into Klal Yisrael. The halacha of Moab Yivlemoavis is correct, and you can marry Boaz, you can marry a relative. Who knows? So she used the word al tivadi. Tivadi means Adam yoda eschava ishto. The word tivadi means to get married. So therefore, everything is part of this plan. You're going to wash. Smear oil. You're going to put on your clothes. You're going to go down to the garden. And then you're going to have a conversation with Boaz. And this conversation will clarify who you will be allowed to, whom you will be allowed to marry. Al tivadi lo ish. You will not be married. We're not going to let you get married to anyone until, tivadi means, simply means, let no one in the community know. I want you to go surreptitiously. I want you to go secretly. Go down to the garden, the field quietly. But on another level, it means I want you to have a conversation with Boaz, and you should not marry anyone else in the community or go back to Moab ad kaloso lechol v'lishtos until he finishes eating and drinking, which doesn't really fit well in this idea, but it means until you clarify with him what the halacha is. Maybe you can say achil and shasir means Torah. Lechu lachem u'balachmi, which is subiyeh misibasi. Go eat Torah until you have a halachic conversation with Boaz as to who you are allowed to marry. You will not be married to another person until you eat and drink, meaning you engage in Torah with Boaz to discuss your options. Okay, now let's go to the next.
Rashi is a little. The Targum says Lagarbra, the issue is Lagarbra, but Rashi specifically says Leboaz, which really doesn't follow because.
But the symbol.
Right, Naomi is telling us, don't tell anyone.
The simple translation is, I want you to go down secretly. Al tivadilish.
Don't tell anyone.
That's what Rashi says.
Rashi says,
Leboaz. Right, and the Targum says the same thing. The Targum says the same thing. Lo tisparsimi leguvra. No one should know about this.
Not specifically.
Okay, I'm sorry. You are correct. I'm sorry. I translated according to the Targum. You're right. Correct. There's a difference between Rashi and the Targum. According to the Targum, it means that you should go down secretly. No one should be aware that you are going there. And according to Rashi, it means that you should be quiet. You should hide when you get down to the garden of self understood. No one knows that you're there. But even when you're there, hide in the corner. Do not let Boaz know that you are in the room. You are present until he finishes eating and drinking. And we just presented a homiletic interpretation of the pasuk means you know, Rosh should not marry a person. An ish means an individual out there in the world until you eat and drink. Eating and drinking refers to a halachic discussion in Beis Din as to what your options are. Okay, let's now go to the next pasuk Dalav. We continue to play when he lies down. The odat es hamokoim. After Boaz, he finishes eating and drinking. He will then lie down to go to sleep. The odat es hamokoim asher yishkaf sham. You shall know the location where he is lying. Uvos, you will come. You will go close. Vigilis margiloisav. You will uncover his feet. Vishochoft. Okay, and you will lie down. And again, we have here the yud, which can be read vishochavti, which simply means, and do not worry, my zuchuyos will accompany you. It will be as if I myself am lying there with you, and you do not need to fear that Boaz will wake up and curse you. Vuhu, and I'll tell you another interpretation in one moment. We'll see the targum first. Vuhu yagid loch, and then he will tell you, eis asher yitasun, what you shall do, simply who you shall marry. He'll tell you what you should do. The plan will proceed, will take on a life of its own. At that point in time, he will wake up, he will see that you have uncovered his feet, he will realize you're there, and then he will tell you what to do next. Let's see first Rashi. Rashi Pasik. There is no Rashi here, there is no Rashi.
This is the only place that...
Margulosov Regel. Isn't Margulosov... Shalosh...
Someplace else.
It comes from the word Regel. There's a mem. The mem is not part of the shoresh. He'll uncover his feet. Okay, let's see. Let's take a look over here at the targum. There's a long targum. Pasuk dalit. Vihei v'idon. It will be v'idon mishkevei at the time when he lies down. Okay, dimche means asleep. So he's adding here a word into the pasuk that it does not say. Dimche means of going to sleep. The translation here is shinoso, at the time when he lies down to retire for the night. Because who knows, maybe when he's lying down, he's not lying down to go to sleep. No, he's going to sleep. Why is that important? I do not know. Maybe, but okay, let's see. Visidin, you should know Yos Asra, the location de Yidmuch Saman. You shall know the location that he is lying. Okay, that's the same word. The word in the beginning of the pasuk of
no.
No, I'm not sure. No, it's not the same word. Okay, Visidin, you shall know Yos Asra de Yidmuch Taman. You shall know the place, and he's translating the word de yidmuch to mean to lie down, where he's lying down over there. The se'alin, you shall enter. The usigali'i, you shall uncover yos ragloihi, his feet. The sidmuchi, and you shall lie down. The word lie down here appears so many times. So he's lying when you're lying, and you shall lie down. Usehe sha'alamine, and you shall ask him mino eta. Okay, now this is something which stands out very much in the Targum, which the commentators pick up on. You shall ask him for advice. Okay, ask him, eta means an etza. The tes and the tzadi are interchangeable. You shall lie down, and you shall ask him for advice, a solution, an etza tova. V'hu yichavei loch, he will reveal to you, b'choch mesei, with wisdom, yas ti savon, he will reveal to you, here's another word which Targum adds, and he will give you chokhmah. He will provide you with a wise solution, what you should do. Okay, so do we have over here, We have over here, again, so just to review, what is the significance of this pasuk in Targum? You should ask him a solution, an etzah, and he, Yagilach, he will tell you with Chochmah what to do. Now, what is the question? What is, now, where do we get over here the Targum of the right to add in these expressions, these additional expressions, even though you can simply say, as we said yesterday, that he had a tradition, that's what it means. But more often than not, the commentators find small diyukim in the pasuk, which indicates where the Targum got his embellishments from. So some want to say, an Eitzah.
So the Minifus Shai brings down.
Yeah.
The extra Yud.
Oh. Exactly, that's what I'm coming to explain right now. What's the extra yud? So I told you the extra yud originally, the first interpretation was, it was the one interpretation is the merits. Ruth was afraid to follow through with this plan because she realized she'll get caught and he'll curse her. He may curse her. So the simple interpretation is, do not worry, I'm going to accompany you there. My zuchuyos will accompany you, you'll be protected. But the Mincha Shai is saying something a little bit deeper. Vishochavti means, don't read it as a statement, read it as a question. Vishochavti. Now, shochavti is a euphemism for getting married. Getting married means a shriva. So, shall I get married or shall I not get married? Or in the bigger picture, to whom shall I get married to? Vishochavti. Shall I get married to you? To someone else? Should I go back to Moab? Who shall be the person to whom I will get married? When you have the Yud, then it refers to herself, and we read it as a question. She's asking Boaz, give me an Eitzah, who I am allowed to marry. Is this rumor that I hear, Moavi, v'loy Moavis, is that correct? Or maybe it's not correct. Does that allow me to marry another Jew who's a ger, or a ger from Moav? That's what we find. Now, the word Yagid seemingly means Haggadah. V'gadata levincha bayemahu lemar. Why did the pasuk here say Yagidlach? We could have said v'hu heshif, v'hu yoymar lach. So what's the word Yagid? So the Targum obviously learns that the word Yagid has a connotation of Chochmah. So that gives us a very fascinating understanding into the Haggadah. Haggadah is called Yagid. V'gadata levincha bayomuhu leimar. What do you tell your children by the Haggadah? Words of Chochmah. The Haggadah is not just a simple storybook for pre-1A children. The words of the Haggadah are mole Chochmah. And that's why the Haggadah is called Haggadah instead of other words. And you see that here in the Targum. Yagid. Yagid means he will respond with Chochmah, a wise solution to your dilemma, who you should marry.
So we call it the mitzvah.
A story. It's, but the pasuk describes it as v'gad. Okay, everything has to be put in its proper place. I got levincha v'yamuhu leimar. Okay, now we go to pasuk says v'tomer eleha. So Rus responded, kol asher toimri. Now we have here the word Eli. We read that, it's absent in the pasuk. Kol asher toimri Eli, everything that you say to me, I will do. Let's see. There is no Rashi. Let's see the Targum. Pasuk Hey. Va'amaras la. Rus said to Ami, kol this same rin li aved. Everything that you say li to me. So you see the Targum, he added in. The Targum inserts the Eli into the pasuk. Okay, now this pasuk, believe it or not, is one of the main reasons why we lane Rus on Shavuos. There are probably 100 reasons, or Muslim, you can find in Rus as to why it is laned on Shavuos. Right. The Yichus of David was born, David died, the Yichus of David, it's called Chesed, Torah begins with Chesed, ends with Chesed, the list goes on and on. But here is another reason. The pasuk could have said, Anochi Esechi Dvorecha. If we were writing this Sefer, or we would assume, if someone asked you to guess how she responded, the proper response would be, okay, Naomi, you're giving me a very, very detailed plan of action, what to do. Anochi Esechi Dvorecha. I accept the mission. Mission impossible. This was the mission impossible. So how do you respond? I accept the mission. Anochi esechid varecha. But that's not what it says. It says, kol asher tomri elai e'ese, in the future tense. In other words, not only will I, nasev nishma, not only will I do what you're telling me now, anything that you'll come up with, any change of plan that may come about in the future, I'll also do. Kol asher tomer elai, it has the same flavor as, I have in you na'omi emuna pshuta. And it's not just the plan you've told me until now. If you'll change your plan, you'll have other conditions. I accept. Kol asher tomer elai eseh, I will do.
It's parallel to when Mordechai was told to me. I said, "V'ava Mordechai v'yask b'chol asher tzivkol avesh."
That's similar to Anochi esechid v'recha.
Yeah.
That's not in the future tense. That's the past tense.
Yeah, that was should exactly have by Balak and
Bilam. What?
Few times it is said, "Recall Asher Kamari left on his
ass." Yeah, that was the curse. Yeah, that was right. The cursing Kali Yisrael. His Islam was the curse was so great. That's in a very negative.
Right.
But here it's a unique expression which touches, according to the Medrash, upon Nasev Nishma, and that's exactly who was Rus here at this moment in time. If you want to say like Rashi, Tinuf, cleanse yourself from the Tinuf of the Zara by bathing. She was going to mikvah. She was being makabel the mitzvahs. She was changing her midos tovos. She was dressing in the clothing. The clothing means the midos tovos. She was becoming a full fledged convert at this time, and the way she expressed her willingness to bathe, to be mekabel the mitzvos, to change her midos, what is her response? Nasev nishma. That's an exact parallel to what we are doing at Matan Torah. Matan Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is asking us, do you want the Torah, the Torah, the Tayag Mitzvos, the Midos, the Recheretz Kadm Torah, the learning of the Torah, the Tinef Mavod Zara, Nasev nishma. You couldn't get better.
That's why I thought back after Baruch Hatzim,
yeah.
It's after all of that, I made myself so pure, Vyarada. I'm going to go back and do something that goes against the grain, so to speak.
That's what Vyarada, it's going down, to go down. It's a darga severe. A Yerida Litzarech Aliyah.
How long? I mean, it seems from the way you've just explained it that she hasn't converted yet.
We discussed this yesterday. We discussed this.
Is this going to go on?
Okay, we discussed this yesterday. Because here is where we touch upon a very sensitive area. Because here it says bathing. And Rashi says bathing from Avodah Zarah. Cleansing from Avodah Zarah. But if she was already a convert, she already abandoned the Avodah Zarah. So we discussed yesterday. So some say, the different levels of conversion. She converted maybe first from becoming a Goya to a Ger Toishav. And now she's going the second stage, from a Ger Toishav to a Ger Tzedek. Or some say, no, she never converted. She was just in training. Or some say that now, she was already a full-fledged Ger Tzedek, but it was conditional. It was conditional. Every Ger Tzedek, we learned in the Kiddush Shulchan Aruch yesterday, every Ger Tzedek, they convert. Okay, you'll be mekabel the mitzvos, and then we'll start training you to observe the mitzvos. And if everything goes according to plan, then in Achanami, Huvrar Hadovel Lemafreya, that you were okay. So now she's doing something that's going to confirm retroactively that her conversion, when she first came to Eretz Yisrael with Nama 3 months ago, was sincere. We discussed this yesterday, all the various traditions, but you can't ignore what it says in Rashi, what it says in the Targum. You can't ignore what it says, that she's cleansing herself from the filth of Avodah Zarah, which definitely has a connotation of conversion, and especially when you want to add to that the other two words of mitzvahs, Avodah Zarah, HaKabbalah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, He's my God, I'm doing all the mitzvahs, and clothing, which always in Chazal refers to Midos Tovos, which is Derech Eretz Kadmu LaTorah. You can't take away from the fact that it sounds like she's going through a conversion. And her response is, Nasev Nishma. Whatever you tell me I'm going to do, Allah Osit. I think this is like solid as can possibly be. This is a time which really fits 100% in line with the theme of Shavuos. More so than David, more so than a lot of the other Chesed, a lot of the other popular reasons, this really has a lot of appeal to a relationship to Shavuos.
That's the case.
Yeah.
Then it would create the appearance of conversion for the purpose of marriage. In other words, with an agenda.
She had until.
If we're still at this stage.
Yes. Yes.
Ulterior motives.
And she's going to approach him.
Yeah.
With marriage in mind.
Not necessarily to him. To marriage to someone.
That's
the unknown.
To be where.
Fine. So that's not necessarily forbidden. Almost, he probably has a very significant number of conversions are because of marriage.
No, you don't.
What?
You don't. We don't.
Don't accept it unless they're sincere. Why don't you even accept it? The fact is, a significant number of people who come to convert is because they have a significant other that's Jewish. No,
right.
And the Beis Din says they got to be exactly. But if they're willing to make the commitment 100%, and they pass the test of time, okay, they get married, they convert, they get married, and then they stay Jewish for a significant amount of time, they're 100% full fledged Jews. So just because their incentive, the original incentive, was because they wanted to get married, so that doesn't take away from the fact.
She's not willing to get married. She doesn't have an individual beforehand.
Right. It's even better in this case.
She's already married someone.
Exactly. It's already better in this case. In this case, you don't have to expect a person. I'm going to convert. I'm going to be a maid, an old maid. No, that's ridiculous. She's coming to Klal Yisrael. She's coming from Moav. She's here. Moav is not allowed in Klal Yisrael. And she. I want to know who can I marry. I don't expect to be single my whole life. I want to be married to someone. So who? I don't know who I'm going to marry. So what's the problem? That's very realistic.
She made her commitment back in the first chapter.
She made it no marriage. Now Nomi says, I'm not letting that stand. You're going to get married no matter what. I make a shvuah. So now we're proceeding to find who she could marry. But we're going through a further stage, a further degree, a further dimension in her conversion. Now, the big question here is, why does it say, Kol asher toma toimri elai eseh, to me? Why does it say that? I don't see, maybe you have a good answer, elai. What's the significance of elai? Here it says here in the Sheresh Yishai, the Medrash elai kri v'loik siv amro lo afal pi shehador hu shotuf be'averos, shema yovoi acher v'yifka bi, someone may come upon me. Elai means... she's alluding that afal pichein kol asher tomri elai eseh al elai yosudu hadvarim. I accept upon myself a suicide mission. That's what the Medrash seems to say.
But as we'll see, she changes the order of
Elai's
commitments.
That's later, right? That's
so,
later.
And that's the whole thing, and that's what the Medrash says here. That she says to Nali, you told me
the order
to bathe and do this and do that and do that and do that.
Are we asking to come to the next pasuk?
I'm thinking that maybe I have to change the order of the instructions.
So you want to say that's hidden to the word Elai?
It is up to me to determine.
Okay, the order. The Seder. So you want to say Elai means whatever you say I'm going to do, but Elai. I am going to... My terms, right. I'm going to change the order. What Real Michal said is, what did she ultimately do? What did she ultimately do? She did the order. She went first down to the threshing floor. She went into the restroom. And then she bathed. She put on the bathing she did at home. She put the oil on and she put on her clothing. She changed and beautified herself later. Because if she would walk in the street all beautified, it would arouse the attention of the people. So therefore, she changed the order. So therefore, that's what Michal is saying, why it says Elai. Kol asher toim, whatever you say, eseh. Whatever you say, I'm going to do. But I'm not necessarily in the order that you've told me to do it. Elai. I'm going to do things a little bit. There's going to be some input on my part, on my terms. That's a different in Chazal. This is the Chazal that I'm quoting from. Right. I know, but what I was referring to, what I read over here is I don't have clarity. That's why I told you I don't really understand. She's saying the different. Elai means I realize that what you're telling me, I don't have confidence in. You're telling me to do something where no way in the world is this going to work. But you know something?
Exactly.
Elai.
Right.
I accept upon myself the consequences of failure no matter what. So she's saying, theoretically, I'm not ready for this mission. It's a suicide mission to go down into the threshing, to the Gadol Hadar. He's going to see me there. He's going to curse me. I'm going to be finished. But you know what? Eli, let the curse come upon me. Be as it may. What?
See the parallel between with Esther and Mordechai. Esther follows Mordechai. Hasher
avadati ovadati.
Seems to be a suicide mission. Literally.
And what does she say? V'hasher avadati ovadati. Okay, so you want to say that the word Eli is parallel to the words Hasher avadati ovadati. That is seemingly what the Medrash means. I don't. I'm not reading it correctly. Let me read you the words one more time. It says. Okay, let me just read the words. V'tomer. We read over here. Eli is kriv like siv. Amr lo. The generation is shot of their people out there. They're going to see a single woman walking in the street. Even if I go in the middle of the night, they're going to see me. Someone's going to see me and someone's going to rape me. Isn't that what she's saying?
Yeah.
I'm going to walk in the middle of the night.
Take me for
a zona. Someone's going to chat me. And it's not going to be good. But you know what? Shema yovei achar v'yivkabi. Af al pichein. Naomi, if you tell me I should do this, v'chasher avadati avadati. I'll do what you tell me to do no matter what the consequences are. Even if I fail. Kol asher toimri elai eseh. Eli yosuru hadvarim. To me, these words will turn. V'hoya zemi toiv levava v'hash. To listen to the sound of the voice of her mother-in-law. Okay, so this is another idea in addition to what her Michal told us. Okay, yeah.
It sounds like a very general that I will do whatever you're going to say.
Yeah. S is the future tense. That's what's critical.
Right.
I will do whatever you say. I will do in the future.
Right.
In contrast to what the pasuk we would have expected the pasuk to say. Anochi eseh will do chidvarecha. Chidvarecha limits. I'm only going to do what you've told me to do, but nothing more. When you phrase it. Call Asher Tomri Ascend that without saying the word chidvorecha, without the word chidvorecha, that means I'm even willing to do new things you'll tell me in the future that I'm not aware of now, which parallels Nasa v'Nishma. There is no conditions.
She's teaching her. She's guiding her. So it's what was, what is, and what will be. This is all Tomri Ascend as
right.
Part of that. So that's a general statement. When you say a lie, you mentioned that she didn't feel comfortable with it. She really didn't want to go and do it. But a lie says that when you talk specifically for me to do something, as opposed to a general thing to do, that's what I will do.
Okay. Okay, let's go down to the next pasuk. There's one idea I like. Okay, two short ideas I want to mention. This idea of uncovering his feet. What is this all about? She says, I want you to uncover his feet. What kind of thing is that? Just go and lie down next to him.
Wake him up.
Give him a little push. What's this, to uncover his feet? Ma'amazeh. So I taught two things. One idea is she's coming. I want you to be merames to him the mitzvah of yibum, as we discussed yesterday. We discussed a few times the idea of Mashiach. Mashiach comes through the symbolic fulfillment of yibum. Yibum represents to rebuild a bayis status chorav. What does a Yavama do? A Yavama says, either marry me, or the Yavama removes the shoe, chalitzas hanoal. Chalitzas hanoal is something that's done in the process of a rejection of yim chalitza. So basically, she's lying down. Lying down basically is a statement, marry me. I'm lying down next to you. What more? I mean, how more explicit can you get? Right? A woman comes, I'm lying down right next to you. That's a statement. Marry me. Be miyabein me. You are my relative. You are my goyal. And if you don't want to be miyabein me, then do chalitza. You have to do chalitza. You have to release me which she's pulling off. She's pulling off his shoes. She's pulling off the shoes. It's one or the other. Now, what would be the chalitz in this? What would be the chalitz? The chalitz would mean you have to provide a solution for me. Don't leave me in limbo. A shomeres yavam to some degree is an aguna. She's in limbo. She can't get married because she's waiting for the yavam. But on the other hand, she's in limbo. She's locked into this person, but she's not yet fully married. So manafshach, either you marry me or find a solution for me to marry someone else in Klal Yisrael or out in the world. Okay, so we have the two. Yibum versus Chalitza. Now another idea, and this is a little bit missed out, a little bit strange. At first when I heard this, I was very, very, but I'll just mention it, not holding back anything over here. There is a tradition, I have no idea if this is true scientifically, that the ankle, the feet, is related to a person's erva. And if a person has a difficulty with hirhurim, this is what it says in the book. It brings us down over here. I've heard this many years ago. I saw this person has difficulty with hirhurim at night. The solution is to put your feet in a bucket of cold water.
It's like taking a cold shower.
So no, but it's not the whole body. It's okay. Specifically the ankle. Specifically,
it radiates.
There is such a thing. Is it true scientifically? I have no idea. I'm not interested in finding out. Such a thing. If you keep your ankle cold, you don't wear socks when you sleep, and your feet are uncovered, don't put your sole of your foot, the ankle, underneath the warm blanket, and let the feet stick out in the cold air, the coldness of the ankle spreads all the way up the nerves in the legs to the erva, and it prevents a person from coming to a nisayon of hirhurim and mimotzi zera levatala. That's what it says in the Kabbalah books. That's what it says. So here, we basically over here, she's going to cause him to have a very great nisayon. She's going to lie down. She's going to lie down right next to him, a young, attractive woman lying down next to a single man, an unmarried man, does not have pas pasalo. What right do you have to put a person in such a very great nisayon? Yosef, what the Yosef ages by Tifar? What's going on over here? So you have to at least do your hishtadlus. I told you this is bizarre, but this is what it says. I'm not holding back anything here. Do your hishtalus to take away his nisayon. So uncover his feet. If his feet are cold, it's a cold night it seems, and his feet are not under the covers, then he's not going to have that taiva to be nichshol in Avera, so there won't be any lifne either, and he'll get the message. He'll get the message that you're proposing marriage or whatever the situation is. Okay, so this is another mahalach, very different mahalach. Yibum chalitza, or we're being very pragmatic here. Very practical in what and what. Again, this thing is scientific. Dr. Fuchs, any such thing like this? Dr. Fuchs, anything like this? Here's such a thing like this. The nerves of a person's erva go down to the ankle?
Put your
hand on cold water. Is
such a thing like this? So it cools
you down. You said you're going to take a cold shower, right? Taking a cold shower, but you'd expect dip your head in a bucket of cold water, not to dip your feet, your soul in a cup. But this is what it says. Okay, so who yagel chayta shares? So we discussed a number of these. Let's go to the next pasuk. Okay, a pasuk vav. Vatered hagoyren. So she listened. She went down. She descended to the garden. Vataska kolashet sivata chamoysa. She went down and she did as everything that her mother-in-law commanded her. Rashi pasuk vav. Vatered hagoyren vatas. She did. He amr lo. So here it says she didn't do exactly. It says kichol. Okay, over here Rashi is coming to focus on the chof hadimyoin. She did kichol, like. But not 100%. Like what her mother-in-law told her to do, he amr lo v'rachatzt v'osacht, first bathe, smear your body with oil, v'sam simul sechalecha, v'achar kach v'iradit hagoren. V'hi loy osa sokein, she did not do so. First, Ella amr, she said, im erit kashani mikushetes. If I go down when I'm already beautified, then hapogea bi v'aroyo siyama shani zoyna. Someone meets me, someone sees me, they're going to suspect that I'm a zoner. Then that's going to be bad for me, it's going to be bad for Boaz. Boaz is meeting with the zoner. Everyone is wondering, why is Boaz not going home tonight? How come Boaz is spending the night in the office? People are going to start saying very bad things. I do not want to cause it to be a problem. Therefore, for her.
She'll never make it.
Okay, it could be right. Okay, that was a lie in the Medrash. A lie that I'm not going to make it. First, she went down to the garden, and then she did what her mother-in-law told her to do by bathing. And well, I shouldn't say bathing because the Medrash says she bathed at home because you can't bathe in the garden. She applied the oil and she applied and she put on the clothing. Targum, Pasuk Vav, Unechasas. She descended Leidra to the threshing field. We had that word so many times. Vavadas. She did Kichol di Fokdat that was commanded Chamosa by her mother-in-law. Okay, let's go to the next Pasuk. Pasuk Zayin. Vayoychal Boyaz Vayesh. He ate and he drank. Vayitav Libo. Very important Pasuk. It ties in very well into Shavuos. The word Vayitav Libo. And his heart was gladdened. Vayavo. He then went Lishkaf to lie down Bigtsei Harema at the end of the field. Vatovoy Valot. She on Arus, she entered secretly. Vatagal Margulot Savatishkov. She uncovered his feet and she lied down. Let's see Rashi, Pasuk Zayin. Vayitav, what does it mean? Vayitav Libo, Osak Batoira. Okay, so he had Mishmar. A Mishmar. He ate and he drank, he had a good meal and he learned Torah. Ein toiv ki lekach toiv nosati lochem. Vatavoy Balot. Rashi translates Balot. I told you, means secretly. That's not what Rashi says. It means Balot benachas, very quietly, very gently. That she should not be, she should not be detected. That she was present. Let's see Targum Pasuk Zayin. It says va'achal Boaz. Boaz ate. Ushesiri drank. Voitev libe, and his heart was in a good mood. Now here the Targum adds quite a bit of embellishment into the Pasuk. Uvareich, and he blessed Shmo da Hashem. He blessed him Vashem. Okay, it's so far that doesn't say that in the Pasuk. All it says Vayochal Boaz Vayesh Vayitav Libo. Now he's adding in, he blessed Hashem. Where does it say in the Pasuk that he blessed Hashem? Yeah, oh, that's the question. But similarly, yeah, let's see. It goes on to say, what did he say? He even tells what the bracha was. Dekabel tzlo, say that he accepted his prayer. Ve adi chafna min ara, he removed. The word adi means he removed. He was hasir. Chafna means the famine from the earth, the Israel, the Jewish land. Va'asa le domcha. And then it goes on, now he went, Ladamcha means to lie down. Ladamcha, we had this in the free psuk before in the Targum, to sleep, to rest. Bistar, the tes and the tzad, they are always interchanged, so it's the tzad. The resh and the dalet are interchanged, and the tes and the tzad, they are interchanged in Aramaic. So it's like bis tzad, on the side of Ramsa of the threshing field. Va'alas ruas. The garin of the silo. Va'alas ruas biraz. So here, secretly. So here you see with the word balat. Balat is not like what Rashi said. Rashi translated balat means nachas, gently. Gently. Here he says biraz. Raz means a secret. Secretly.
Could be the same.
Surreptitiously. What? Okay, quietly, it's the same idea, but it's a still different translation. It's a different translation. It's a hard word to translate. You have these hard words, you right away see Targum and Rashi. That's the beauty of learning the Targum. You get a much greater appreciation of what the words are. You see the difference in translation. V'galias raglohi, and she uncovered his feet, udemichas, and she lie down. So here there are a number of midrashim, what he ate and he drank. Now eating and drinking and he drank. So here it says, vayitav libo. What exactly did he do? So he recited Birchas Hamozin. He recited Birchas Hamozin, but over here the Targum, he says Vayitav Libo is he thanked Hashem that he accepted his prayer, that the famine depart.
And he had a good crop. In other words, he's thanking Hashem for this crop that yielded.
He had work to do. The fact that he's here late night, he's overtime. that goes to show that the famine has come to an end. And there's plenty. He was able to the diak is vayitav libo, that he was satisfied, because in years of famine you would eat just a small amount. You would not be in a state of vayitav libo to be pleased. You only can be pleased if there is satisfaction. Satisfaction comes when the famine has come to an end, And he went this thing. Now there are a number of midrashim. Some want to say is vayitav libo means he was mispalel for a wife, because a wife is called matzah isha, matzah toiv. Vayitav libo here in this context means he ate and he drank and he davened. What?
Yeah,
the Medrash says vayitav loshon of tov, and instant. Can you imagine how quickly Hashem answered his prayer? He was in the spalla for his wife, and in the very next moment, a woman comes along and lies down by his feet and covers his feet and says, "Will you marry me?" Basically, "Will you marry me?" Very similar to Eliezer. Eliezer was mispalel for a zivuk, and it couldn't. And a moment later, there comes an eligible woman. Rivka comes along. And similarly, Yaakov Avinu, he comes to the well, the same exact thing. Yaakov Avinu comes there and he finds right away Rachel at the well also. So here we have, he's mispalel for a wife, and right away the tefillah of a tzaddik was answered instantaneously. Okay, there was other midrashim. Okay, now this also, obviously, this is a very nice thing for Shavuos night. Shavuos night is telling us, Vayuchal, Vaboyas, Vayesh, Vayitav Libo, is Talmud Torah. The greatest toiv is a reference to learning Torah. Vayitav libo, it's not a minor remnant. I can't say this is like the major, obviously it's not the major thing for Shavuos, but Vayitav libo, he spent the whole night learning Torah. What we do the night of Shavuos, we stay up the entire night learning Torah. That is what Boaz did here. Vayitav libo.
Well, he didn't stay up the entire
night. Right, then he was sleeping when he went to sleep. That's correct. That is correct. Okay. Okay. Others also want to say that he ate and he drank. We had this before. Eating and drinking, everything in the pasuk is a reference to Torah. Eating is l'chu lachem u'belachmi. Drinking u'shesu yein misibasi. Like we mentioned before, eating and drinking always refers to Torah. Vayitav libo, and he thanked the Kadosh Baruch Hu. He enjoyed. He had satisfaction from the Talmud Torah. All right, we will stop over here. Baruch Hashem, we got through the bolt.